I have to correct something. I was taken to task for something I said this morning. I said that when my dad and was my dad, my mom wasn't like this, would say, oh, Grace and Edwin, aren't you going to play your instruments for dear sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so? We would say, yes, father. Well, yes, dad. Of course we're going to. And we'd do it with a smile on our faces, not in our hearts. And then I said, we said yes every time. Nowadays you say no. Now, I was not saying that that was what should be, or even, I shouldn't have said that that's what is, okay? As though my generation was so much better than today's generation, because it was not. It was not. So many old people say that, you know, oh, the old days, oh, the old times. I can tell you that the young people in my church now, though fewer than we were when I was their age, are at least a cut above my group. I mean, really, trust me, it is so. But anyway, looking back, so things aren't all going downhill. And maybe it would have been more accurate to say that most kids then, too, and now might say, do I have to? Do I really have to? Okay, enough with that. We were talking about the Word of God this morning, and somehow I'm drawn to continue with that just for a few minutes tonight. We're talking about how precious is God's Word and how we ought to cherish God's Word. Tonight I'd just like to look at two men in the Bible that were spoken to about God's Word. First, let's open. Please follow with me. We don't have a lot of time, and so I just feel to do this. I didn't plan to, but I just feel that we ought to. Here's Moses, the great man of God. You know, he's called Israel's greatest prophet at the end of Deuteronomy. And he's speaking to his successor, Joshua, who had been such a great servant for many years, a faithful servant to Moses and to the Lord. And he said, Joshua, I'm going to be leaving you. The time has come. God has said to me, you're not going to cross the Jordan with the people. So my time is coming and you're going to lead this people. Now, don't be afraid. Be strong and of a good courage. Deuteronomy 31:6. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God has already given us great victories. He has shown us his power. He will continue to fulfill his promises. Don't be afraid of these whom he has called you to lead, and those who will be driven out, they'll come against you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. God will not fail you. He will go with you. He will not forsake you. Moses called Joshua and said to him, be strong and of a good courage. God spoke these words first to his people and then individually to Joshua, that they should be courageous and know that he would be with them. Thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses gave them commandment. Now, here's Moses at the end of his life talking to the people that he's led for years and about to leave. And he says, God is with you. He's going to go before you. He's going to drive out the enemies. He will fight for you. And then in the sight of all the people, he gave this wonderful word to Joshua. There's more to this story. He made it very clear to the people that Joshua was God's chosen leader, his successor. But he said, be strong, be courageous. You're the one that has to lead the people into the land. And then turn over with me to the first chapter of Joshua. Moses now is gone, and the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks directly to Joshua, the new leader. He was Moses' servant, but God says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now you, his servant, you arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. This chapter is God's command to Joshua. We could even call it God's commissioning of Joshua as the soldier or the commander who would lead God's people into the land. Of course, God was going before them. But this was quite a charge that was given to Joshua. Right here in the first chapter of this book, Moses is dead. You're his successor. I am leading you in, and you are leading them. Go before them. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, he gives the boundaries of the promised possession. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here's Joshua hearing the same words again. When you hear something twice like that, it's for emphasis. It's underscored for you. Joshua must have said, the Lord is speaking to me. He spoke to me through Moses, and now he's telling me the very same thing. He's telling me to be strong. I don't feel all that strong in myself. He's telling me to be courageous. I don't suppose he felt all that courageous. That was a big loss. Can you imagine that leader, the great leader of God's people, Moses, now taken from them? He's gone. And now Joshua stands in his place. I don't imagine that Joshua felt too able, too strong, too courageous, certainly not in himself. But you know, that's a good place to be. The Lord reminded us the other night of his word to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then he told us, you remember, he said that he would be our strength and that we ought to lean upon him. That's the kind of word that's given to Joshua right here. The same thing the Lord reminded us of the other night, when we were taking strength from him to serve him in the Holy Ghost. When we took his grace, we came to the table to feed upon him, that our fellowship with him might be strengthened, and that we might serve Him in the power of His Spirit in the way that would please Him and be effective unto His glory. Be strong, be courageous. And where will your strength come from? Here He says, take the book of the law. Take that book and obey it. Now, if we're going to obey the Bible, we're going to have to know it. Right? We're going to have to get into it. We're going to have to know what it says. And that's what Joshua was called upon, to know it, to obey it. Let's just look at these words quickly. Speak it and to meditate in it. All those things. This book shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua was to lead the people, and he did. He brought the elders together, and he gave them God's word, and they spread that word among the people. But you know, Joshua, you say it was, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. God promised the land. He said he'd lead Joshua and be with him and all. But you know, God has also means, ways that He uses to accomplish His purposes. And one of them is right here. Joshua, you'll prosper in that which I'm sending you to do. You'll have good success if you do this. Know the law of the Lord. Observe the law of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. Meditate in the word of the Lord. I think those four things are especially prominent here. Know it. Get to know it. Two, obey it. As you read, oh God, that's a heart matter, isn't it? You don't just obey. Well, you can try. But to obey from the heart, to obey promptly, to obey gladly, to obey because you love the Lord, something that God works in you. You know, when we read the Bible, we should say, Lord, I mentioned this morning that we should say, read this to me, Lord. You read it to me. Let me get out of this what you want me to get out of this. Your word, your message to me, read it to me. But then I know we should say, oh Lord, give me a heart to obey what I read gladly, a heart that wants you, a heart to run in your ways, a heart that wants your will, not my own. Let me follow the example of Jesus, my Savior, who said, in the hardest place, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not what I will, but what you will. Let your will be done. Sweet will of God, reveal to me in this word. Draw me, fold me closer. Let me be lost in you. Let me want what you want, what you show me here, Lord. Work in me. Work on these desires of me, in me, these desires, Lord. Some of you are familiar with Terstegen. I think it is He who said or wrote, lest I should choose my own wild way within me, work, strive, and pray, something to that effect. Lord, I need you. Keep me from going astray. Keep me from doing my own thing, and make me want to do yours. Let me obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And then speak God's words, get to know them, say them. Joshua, don't let this book depart out of your mouth. What do we talk about? what fills our minds and mouths. One day I was with a group of God's people. It happened to be at the East Side Pentecostal Church. I went for Sunday school there, and some of the older people, and they had asked me to come and help them with the music that day. It was in the afternoon. And then there was an evening meeting, and I was to stay and help. Sometimes I did go to Sunday school there, but I always went back to Ridgewood then. But that day I was supposed to stay and help. And they said, you know, come downstairs. We have a little kitchen there, and we're going to feed you. And we all sat around a table, and Sister Rowena Miller, maybe some of you remember Kenny Miller, his mother, cooked this delicious meal. Or maybe she had cooked it at home and brought it and heated it up. We sat around the table, and it was great. It was such a good meal. But I noticed something, and you would say, why would you notice this? Because I did live among people, some of whom were very careful with their words, and it was noticeable that they checked themselves and they were careful with what they said. But that day, the whole meal, I just listened to these older people from Eastside speak, and they talked about Jesus the whole time. And it was real. I don't think it was just because I was there and they wanted to impress me and make me think they were as holy as the people, you know, back at the faith home. I think it was because it was real. It just was full of glorifying Jesus, testifying to his goodness, the experiences that they had had with him. It was just such, I felt so blessed and strengthened. I think, I don't even remember the meeting that followed. I remember the meal. I don't know if I remember what we ate. This is the thing I remember. It was delicious, that I remember. But the conversation, it was just all to the glory of God. It was great. It was full of Jesus. It was just full of Jesus and his goodness, his grace, his beauty, how he was so real to them and precious to them. And I appreciated them. Most all of them have gone to be with the Lord in the intervening years. I suppose every one of us that was at that table. No, Lucille is still with us, Lucille Petraca. I'm glad she's still here, but her parents were there. And all that older generation is gone. But here Joshua said, this book of the law, what is there that could possibly be better to speak about than the goodness of God, the salvation, the so great salvation that we have in Christ, the promises of God, the provisions, the revelation of Christ that we have right in this book? What could be better? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And then meditate in it day and night so that you may observe to do everything that's written in it. There's Joshua. I said two, and I think we can do that too. Come over with me to Second Chronicles. His name also starts with a J, and he was a king. Remember that I read to you this morning, many of you were here, that in the law of Moses it says, when your kings take the throne, they ought not to do this and ought not to do that. I read it to you, but here's something that they ought to do. They ought to take the law and write it out. They were to write it all out, longhand. It was their own personal copy of God's holy law. And then they were to read in it. And it was so that that law would work in their hearts. The one specific thing it mentions is that as they would read that law, as the kings would read the law, they wouldn't be exalted in their hearts to feel that they were better than the people they were ruling over. You know, kings, as I said this morning, have an exalted position, and people come and bow before them and want favors from them and so on, and they make judgments and so on, and they have power, and you might, you know, feel strong and better and higher and so on, more noble than the people around. It says, if they'll do this, they won't feel better than their brethren. Well, that's quite a powerful work that the law of God can do in the heart of a king. Yes, keep him humble. Keep him humble. Apparently, by this time, toward the end of the southern kingdom, when Josiah came on the scene, it wasn't the practice to do that. They weren't doing that. In fact, Josiah, it seems as though he knew something about God's ways and he loved God, he had never read in the law of the Lord. He never read it. Well, that's how the story goes. Real quickly, Josiah came to the throne when he was 8 years old. 8 years old. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. That's a good testimony about Josiah. Now he comes to the 8th year of his reign. So he's 16. It says while he was yet young, or approximately 16, he began to seek after the God of David his father. He had heard about God. And he began to seek the face of the Lord. 16 years old. In the 12th year, 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. They broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. So there was idolatry. Talk about zeal and fervor. Wow, this was prophesied, by the way, remember? In the reign of Jeroboam, way, way back. His name was prophesied by that man of God. There's coming a king, Josiah by name. Josiah by name. And he's going to do these things. This altar that you're sacrificing on, he's going to take care of it. Well, anyway, Josiah begins these wonderful reforms. And then in the 18th year of his reign, he goes into the temple, purifying the land and the temple. It says he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, okay, and Maaseiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of, I should have you read this, Joahaz, anyway, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. Now he's 26. And it's time to clean out that temple and restore it. It's been damaged over the years. And they went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money. This is part of the story, you see. I have skipped some. But anyway, when he went into the temple, he found a copy of the law of the Lord. The book of the law was found. And Hilkiah the priest found it, and the law that had been given through Moses. And Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, and Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They're following the instructions you've given them. They paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and the workers. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. So they read from the law of the Lord to Josiah. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, the son of High come the son of Shaphan, so on, names again. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokhath, the son of Hera, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem, in the second district. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all that their hands have made, my anger will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place and on those who live here." So they took her answer back to the king. Just that little part for now. Read the story of Josiah. It's fascinating. But Josiah was surprised when he heard what was in the law. This king, still a young man, 26 years old, had a heart for God. And when he heard what Moses had written, "If you forsake me, this will happen, that will happen. If you worship other gods, you will be punished. Curses will be upon you if you follow after idols and fail to honor me, the Lord God, who has stretched forth his mighty hand and delivered you and made you his people and brought you into the land that he promised you, and you repay him like that." And Josiah hears these things and his heart trembles. His heart is moved because he reads what God has done and what God has commanded and what God has promised, what God has warned against, and he trembles. And the prophetess says to him, or sends word back to him, "Because your heart was tender, because your heart was humble, because you feared my name, because you responded as you did to my word, I will spare you. The disaster will not come in your day." And it was terrible. It was an awful thing that came upon the succeeding kings who didn't follow the Lord and weren't humble before him and didn't tremble at his word as Josiah did. It was an awful judgment. An awful judgment. You read about it in the chapters that follow, right there at the end of 2 Chronicles. God cut one of them off, just cut him off. Awful things he said and did, punishing his people. But Josiah's heart was tender. There was a response to God's word. I just had in my heart tonight to give you those two men, Joshua and Josiah, what God said to them about his word and the very important place that it holds, it held in their lives, and it should hold in our lives too. Do you fear before God? Do you love his word? Do you tremble? You know what Isaiah in his last chapter says? We'll just close with that. Isaiah 66, right at the beginning, I'll read it to you. Thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? So they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. My hand made all these things. All these things have been, but to this man will I look. This is the one in whom I will dwell. Here is my rest forever. The heart that is contrite, in the one who fears the Lord, in the one who reveres his name, in the one who trembles at his word, here will I dwell. Here will I dwell. This is my rest forever. The Lord has chosen Zion, his true people. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. That's what the Lord says. Let us love his word. Well, they found it for me. The one book, the only book, the great book, God's book, my book for eternity, the book I must have, the book I badly need, my living word. I was here at camp for the 60th anniversary 2 years ago, and when I went home, one of the men, there were a number of charter campers here, those who were here in 1946, the first summer, and he sent me, he had this framed, he called it a poem that the Lord gave to Sister Robinson, but he had it framed for me. And it wasn't new to me, but I cherish that, but not as much as I cherish the Word of God, as we all ought to love His Word and tremble before Him. And here it is again, the one book, the only book, the great book, God's book, my book for eternity, the book I must have, the book I badly need, my living word. If I keep out of this book, I keep out the life of God. If I fail to read it, if I fail to devour it, if I fail to understand it, I fail in everything that is worth having. God is in this book. It is the book of all books. It is the necessity of every soul. Get into this book. Pray over it. Get it into your mind, live it, obey it, and it will deliver you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. It will be your passport into glory. Now, maybe you say, what do you see in that book? I read it. Ask God to make it live. Just ask God to take his word and help you to bow before him. Ask him to make this word spirit and life to you, that it will reveal Jesus Christ to you, and that his call, the call of God, will sound into your heart from this holy Bible. How thankful we ought to be for it, and how we ought to, as it says here, devour it and meditate in it day and night, all the days of our lives. And I felt that today, I just felt it. I didn't plan this before I came to camp, but I just felt today we ought to spend time just speaking about God's holy word. And I'd just like to lay that challenge before you. If this sounds a little strange, and you can say, how is it that Mrs. Robinson and other people in this place, maybe my parents or just other people, can say the Word of God is life to me. I can't get enough I cannot get along without my Bible. How is it? If you don't have that experience for yourself, it's there for you. God has it for you. And so please, please learn to love His Word. My saying that won't do it for you. But blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates in it day and night, who trembles because it's God's word, the God of heaven and earth, the God who loves you with an everlasting love, the God who sent His Son to be your Savior, the Savior who poured out His life for you, the Savior whose longing for you is great. He's given you His Word. He's revealed Himself in it. His call is there over your life. And so it would be right to just ask Him to make His Word alive in your mind and heart. He's the one that must do it. Let's ask God the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives an appreciation, an understanding, and an appetite for the Word of God. Dear Lord, we see Joshua and your command to him and your promise that as he would use the means that you had put into his hand, the law of the Lord, and as he would really get into it and live by it, you would give him success. You would prosper his way. And then we see Josiah, how he trembled at a word that he had never heard before, but he knew it was God speaking. Lord, I pray that you will help us to bow our hearts before you and your word. You look to those who are contrite. You look to those who humble themselves. You come to dwell with them. And we just want to pray that you will work something in us today. Make this a holy day, a special day in our lives because you come to us and because your word takes on a new aspect, a new importance, a new value and priority in our lives. Oh God, I pray, I call upon you tonight. As this meeting draws to a close, I call upon you tonight that you will work in our hearts a love for your word, a desire to find you in it, a heart that listens for your voice and responds to your call. I pray that you'll do that for every single one of us, for your name's sake and for your glory, O God. We know it's your work. It is something that you must do for us. And so we come tonight and bow before you and ask you to make this word all that it ought to be in our lives, food for our souls, a challenge to us, a call to us. Oh God, let it be that we live by your word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.